This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. And here we are. Good morning, everybody. Man, I've been waiting a long time for the show to start this morning. Sitting here, twiddling my thumbs, drinking my second or third cup of coffee. Actually, just got here about, 2 minutes ago, Brian? Something like that. Oh, it was one of those mornings. You know, you get up and just everything, you lose track. And way too much on my plate. Way too overbooked. Then I lost my phone. It's in the house. Tried to call it, couldn't hear it ring. Who knows where it is? Maybe it's in the coffee maker. Who knows? Anyway, here we are. We're here on the WCBM 680, which is also our phone number, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 numerically. 1-800-WCBM 680, 1-800-922-6680. Welcome your calls here. Anything you'd like to talk about, I'll talk about with you. I sure will. And we can talk about your week. We can talk about fishing. We can talk about hunting. We can talk about the great outdoors, wildlife, anything else. You know, I think it'd be fun. I've never asked anybody to do this before. I've never asked you to do that. I've always given out my email address. But I talked to some folks at the Buck Wild show in La Plata, Maryland last night. We have a little booth down there giving away free magazines. A fair amount of people down there, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But we talked to some folks that listen to the show. They listen online for the most part. A lot of them do. And the question I have for all of you who may be listening online, and maybe I'll remind you of this throughout the show, maybe I won't, but if you are listening online this morning, just shoot me a quick email. Name and town. You don't have to give me your last name or anything else, you know. Bob in Cambridge, or, you know, Fred in Waldorf, or whatever, you know, anything like that. I'd like to see if we have a fairly substantial online listening audience. And the only way I can do that is to ask you to send me an email from wherever you are. I know a ton of people listen to the podcast. I know when we look at the numbers on the podcast and the hits on the website, we know a lot of folks do that. Now, we're getting ready to upgrade the website. It's going to have a new look, you know, updated information and that type of thing. And our buddy Bulldog out of New Hampshire is working on that. So that's what I'm asking you this morning to call us with whatever you want to talk about, 410-922-6680. Oh, there's nonsense. Looks like the chimps got a hold of the... Wow. Oh, crap. All right, that one goes in the trash bin. I don't know what that is. Yes, I want to move that selected message. That one just came in over the transom from somebody. But, yeah, nonsense. But I want to see just, you know, name and town where you're listening on the Internet. And we'd love to hear from you. We always, you know, we invite your phone calls, of course, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. Somebody started off this morning. Talk about something. Fishing season. The challenge is coming to an end here. The fishing challenge in Maryland coming to an end on Labor Day. They'll get all their facts and figures together. Folks will be headed out to the seafood festival to find out if they've won a prize or two or something. And then hunting season starts. Hunting season starts next Saturday, September 1st, we'll be here doing the show live. And then, of course, we've got the dove season coming in. We've got the resident goose season coming in, eastern and western shore. And then we've got deer season on the 7th. Yep, deer archery season opens on the 7th of September this year. Folks at the show were excited about that, you know, thinking about the possibility of maybe able to take a buck in velvet, that type of thing. But we're also hearing on the other side some bad news. Folks all over the state are calling DNR finding deer on their property. We heard of a dozen or so up in Frederick County yesterday that had called department folks and said, hey, we're finding a bunch of dead deer on our property. Well, in a dry season like this, we've got EHD, and there is an article on EHD, which stands for epizootic hemorrhagic disease. Some people call it blue tongue. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's a very, very rampant infection that is not, we don't think, transmissible from deer to deer, but comes from the bite of the biting midge. These are little no-see-ums. These are little bugs that, you know, bite you and you don't even know it. They can transmit a disease called EHD to deer, give them an infection. And it affects their lungs. That's why they call it epizootic hemorrhagic disease. It gives them a high fever. Their pad in their tongue swell up. The pad in their top of their roof of their mouth gets very sore. They develop a very high fever. When they develop this high fever, they go to water. When they go to water, they can't quench their thirst. They can't drive the fever down. Now, some deer do survive, but a lot of deer, it's fatal to, and they die a very, very bad death with you know, not being able to breathe, and it acts pretty quickly. Unfortunately, high fever and death comes from EHD, and you might find 7, 8, 10, 12, 15 deer all stacked up around a creek or some water source, and that's what's happening right now. Talking to the deer managers, the few folks have been finding deer throughout the South, Alabama, Mississippi, some of those areas where it's been very dry since June, been finding deer with EHD. You see, what happens is the when the water starts to dry up, the water sources start to dry up, the deer congregate at the water sources, which is where the midges are. That's where they find the midges, is around water. And when the deer concentrate on those smaller, little water holes or dry creeks, or, you know, little creeks with little water in them, that's where the midges are. They tend to be a little more prolific in a dry season, and that concentrates the deer there. And that's why there are so many that are bitten and affected at one time. Not transmissible to humans, by the way. Even if you find one that has survived and utilized the venison, not transmissible by any reason. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com is our website, and we'd love to hear from you today. Why don't you guys run the show? National Shooting Sports Foundation legal guy, Larry Keene is his name. Cass reports that Cass Sustine of the administration is the regulatory czar in the administration. The Obama administration has announced that he'll return to his former position as professor at Harvard Law. You remember Sustine as one of those administration appointees whose political beliefs and anti-gun leanings led to the first real pushback at the administration's early appointees by pro-Second Amendment groups. Pro-Second Amendment groups did oppose the appointment of Cass Sustine. Before being appointed as administrator of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs at the White House Office of Management and Budget, how'd you like to have that on your business card? Hey, what do you do? Why, I'm the administrator of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs at the White House Office of Management and Budget. What this means is all the regulations that come down the pike from whatever agency go through Cass Sustine's hands. And he was always been controversial. He's a rabid animal rights activist. I say that, what's the word when I say rabid, Brian? What am I using that as? He doesn't really have rabies. He's just a raving animal rights activist. How's that? Is that better? All right. He has stated his support of behavioral economics to get the great unwashed masses, that's you and me, to follow him. According to some of his more extreme public positions, he includes advocating and granting civil rights to animals. And when he was appointed, we brought you this. I don't know if you remember when we talked about Cass Sunstein, when he received his appointment. But, yes, he thinks that animals should have civil rights. And he also approved of applying animal cruelty laws to hunting. And we have seen a proliferation of this philosophy pervading throughout the states. Many, 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 many states have had animal cruelty laws introduced, including Maryland. And they start out saying, you know, you can't ride your dog in the back of your pickup truck. And then they start it, you know, people go, oh, it's the anti-dog pickup truck law. Well, that sounds reasonable. But in the fine print, you know, it's the definition is so broad that it could be applied to somebody who shoots a deer with a bow and arrow. And, you know, this is what this guy believes in. He approved of applying the animal cruelty laws to hunting and to hunters. Fortunately, his tenure in the administration was scrutinized. Sustine never had the opportunity to push his pro-animal rights and anti-gun positions. Instead of practicing behavioral economics on us, it's back to Harvard Law. Thank God is that's my addition. No trials in the court of public opinion here, and fewer organizations willing to spend the time to keep an eye on him. So, you know, they just distract us so much. He's under the radar. He's doing his thing. He's the guy that handles all the regulations for all the departments. And he's now leaving. Very, very good. Mayor of the District of Columbia, 40 miles down the road. The job description of the mayor of District of Columbia must include the ability to ignore facts and criticize anything you don't like. Mayor Vincent Gray includes a National Shooting Sports Foundation billboard announcing the return of the First Shots program to the metro region. Gray blasted the billboard as offensive. We work very hard to be able to enforce our gun laws. In other words, he has no clue what that means. The NSSF First Shots program is gun safety and the proper handling of firearms. We're also aware of the fact that part of the qualifications for being mayor of the District of Columbia isn't a healthy respect for the Bill of Rights or the Supreme Court rulings that say the right to keep and bear arms extend to the District of Columbia residents as well. Perhaps not surprising that Washington, D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray was off target in overreacting to the NSSF, which stands for National Shooting Sports Foundation billboard. And attorney Larry Keene points out in his blog, it's not surprising that the mayor might react like that. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680, Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com is our email address. And there's one. Thank you, Nick from Dundalk, listening in Catonsville. Very good. He's listed on the Android phone. And first-time listener, avid gun owner, outdoorsman, ready, enjoying the show. Definitely make this a habit. Well, that's glad to hear from you, Nick. Appreciate that. Let's talk to John in Glen Burnie. Good morning, John, on the phone. How are you?
Hey, Alan, I'm okay. I was wondering about the guy that would call him almost the first thing on Saturday mornings. Last time I heard him on a program, it's been a month or more.
Yeah, Kirk? Are you talking about our fisherman buddy Kirk?
Yeah, Kirk. I couldn't remember the name. I kept coming up with Dirk.
No, Kirk. Well, K-I-R-K, and Dirk is close, but you're only one letter off. But Kirk calls when he can. I have not followed up with Kirk to find out. I know he is facing some health crises in his life and has not called in on a regular basis. And we don't hold that against him. We like Kirk when he calls. I love talking to the man. And hopefully he's doing well and is still listening. Maybe he just doesn't call in as much.
Yeah, I was hoping he was still around, too. I really enjoyed
it. Oh, I'm sure he's still around. And again, I don't know the status of his health situation, but he calls when he can. So when he can. So I appreciate
you being... Him and the old doctor who travels all over the world.
Yeah, he's around, too.
Yeah,
Charles?
Birthday is this month sometime.
What's that?
Old Doc's birthday is this month sometime.
Is it, Charles?
Yes.
Really, in August? Well, maybe we'll hear from him.
Okay.
All right, John. Well, I appreciate you checking in with our listeners. It is kind of a little community here, isn't it?
Yes.
Very early in the morning, 5 o'clock, but we enjoy doing it every Saturday from 5 to 7. So thanks for calling in, buddy.
All right, man.
All right, man. Thanks. See ya. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Let's see. What do I got? Time for me to tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Now, look, Cecil Jones caught a 20-inch red drum. Now, I know Cecil. And Jason Raglan from Le Master, Pennsylvania, caught a 43-inch blue catfish. And Brianna and Brooke Schnell both caught white perch. Brianna's was 14 inches, and Brooke's was 13 inches. And Weldon Seal from Salisbury caught a 36-inch gar, and Patrick Snap from Edgewater caught a 22-inch Spanish mackerel. That's a nice one. Greg Wilkinson from Bellcamp caught a 21-inch largemouth, and Jennifer Rose Tippett from Nanjemoy caught a 13-inch white perch. Stephen Wason from Severn and Robert Jackson from West River both caught red drum. Anthony Premore from Leonardtown got a white perch. I'm going to guess that Anthony's a youngster. Alexander DeMarco and Joshua DeMarco and Michael Hall all caught red drum. Stephen Corti Jr. from North Beach caught a 21-inch largemouth, and Jake Martin from Abington caught a 24-inch flounder. Vernon Morris from Pasadena caught a 17-inch bullhead catfish. Jason Hamby caught a Spanish mackerel, and John Howell caught a 31.5-inch channel catfish. And those are all folks that have caught fish in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. They all got citations for those fish, and they are in the challenge, and you can be too. All you have to do is go fishing. You could win one of the great prizes, like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, maybe a vacation from the World Fishing Network from now through Labor Day. That's Monday a week. All you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish, 80 categories in freshwater, the tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray and featuring Diamond Jim, and more about him coming up. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. The question is, are you feeling lucky?
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, this is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex Spray-On Bed Liners at Glen Burnie. Now, Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is the only authorized Linex dealer in Glen Burnie, proud to provide outstanding customer service. Take it from me. Just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bed Liners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Now, Linex bed liners completely seal out rust, moisture. They have a durable, non-slip surface. They reduce noise and vibration. Linex bed liners resist most chemicals, acids, and fuels. They protect against impact, and you know what? They clean up just like new at your local car wash. Now, the new Linex Extra coating is fortified with DuPont Kevlar. It utilizes your paint code, you know, of your vehicle to match the liner to your vehicle and provides Kevlar protection to protect your truck bed as well. Linex mobile unit from Bay Linex at Glen Burnie can come to your job site, your farm, your business, and on the equipment that needs protection from the elements or from corrosion can spray the proper Linex protective coating for your equipment. Comes right to your door. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex at Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Or you can visit them online at baylinex.com, B-A-Y-L-I-N-E-X.com. Bobby Hawkins is the man to call, 410-789-0199, 410-789-0199. Find out how you can receive $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card when you mention Ellis Outdoors or the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie.
This is Les Consulving. I'll be on from 7 to 8 p.m. Monday from the RNC with Maryland guests Sourbrey, Wood, and Frank on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Little CCR. All right, 410 WCBM 680, Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com is the email. We'd like to hear from you on email today if you're listening around the country, around the world, to the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your smart green and growing tip from Maryland's Department of Natural Resources. Shred untreated wood and leaf waste into chips and use them as mulch on garden beds to prevent weed growth, retain moisture, regulate soil temperatures, and add nutrients back to the soil. There are more green gardening tips on the Department of Natural Resources website. Yikes. Let's see. What else is new here? Oh, there's another smart green and growing tip as well. You got to see some of these press releases and see the go down on the schedule and see what's coming up at some of these parks and things like that. for example, here's one for the kids. Patapsco Valley State Park in the Hilton area. That's 1100 Hilton Avenue. This is tomorrow in Catonsville. You meet at the Hilton Nature Center for some story time with a naturalist! Exclamation point. After a short story, participants will play Duck, Duck, Goose. Please call to sign up or for more information. Thank you. I think I have enough information on that particular event. Let's talk to Jeremy at Middle River. Good morning, Jeremy. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, I had a kind of an amusing fishing story for you. I thought it was funny anyway.
Well, let's hear it.
I got a little 16-foot fiberglass boat, and I was out fishing off Hart Miller Island.
Right.
And just as a fish struck it, a rod bent over, and I went to set the hook right as a wave rolled up under the bow. And the floating cushion I was sitting on went out from under me. I went right on my back into the bilge, scattered night crawlers every which way.
That sounds like so much fun.
Feet sticking up straight out of the boat in the air like Charlie Brown.
Oh, I love it.
Got up, still had the fish on the line. When I reeled it in, it's like the size of a guppy, a little white perch, maybe an inch and a half long.
Bent the rod over, got all that, all, got you all excited like that, huh?
That's, yeah, and I was just glad nobody was around to see it.
And no video is available on YouTube, huh?
No.
Oh, man. See, those are the kind of things I think there ought to be videos of, and I'm sure there are plenty of them. But it is. Did you look around and you think, boy, I'm glad nobody saw that, and you were a little embarrassed about the whole thing while you were cleaning up the night crawlers?
Yeah, it would have been worth it if my little sister had been out fishing with me that day. Yeah. She would have gotten a kick out of it.
Well, yeah, But now, you know, scores of people have gotten a kick out of it.
Yes.
And we thank you for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Now, have you actually caught anything larger than that white perch since?
Yeah, I got probably a 16-inch, nice, bright, pale yellow catfish, couple...
Channel cat.
Couple white perch and 9 or 10 inches.
Yeah, cool. Very cool. So, do you eat the fish that you catch from Hartmiller Island?
I do.
Okay. Very good.
I was wondering, because in the book that you get with the license, I can't really find much distinction between a crab pot and a crab trap. Like, you haul on the line, it closes up the sides.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know if it's legal for me while I'm fishing to toss a crab pot over the side of my boat.
No, it is not.
Okay.
Nope. Those are for shorebound landowners to be anchored offshore or off their pier. They are not for... recreational angling, you would have to use a crab trap.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it, Jeremy. Thanks for the call.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Good story. Rod bends over. Guy sets a hook. Goes for the rod. Goes. Hits a wave. Hits the boat. The cushion comes out on his butt in the bottom of the boat. Night crawlers crawling everywhere. Never been there. Never happened to me, that's for sure. Or you, I'm sure. All right, today is the 2012 Hunter Calls Duck and Goose Calling Championship in La Plata. This is at the Buck Wild Show. A company called Hunter Calls is proud to present the Hunter Calls Duck and Goose Calling Championship. These are not sanctioned, from what I can read in this, that these are unofficial calling contests. They're kind of like for fun. But I was asked by the gentleman that has Hunter Calls to mention this, if I would. Starts at 11 o'clock, the Open Junior Duck Calling Championship, round 1, 2, and final. At noon is the Open Senior Duck Calling Championship. At 1 o'clock is the Open Junior Goose Calling Championship, and 2 o'clock the Open Senior Goose Calling Championship. I have no more details. I don't have a phone number. I don't have anything. If you'd like to visit the show in La Plata, I'm sure you're going to have to pay your admission to get in and go see the folks at the Hunter Calls booth. And you can see the whole show, if you like, even the guys from Swamp People are going to be there. What are their names? JR and what's the other guy's name? The father and son team. You know who I'm talking about. The Native American guys. What's their name? John Paul and JR, whatever their names are. They were there last night, saw them. Didn't quit, didn't get my didn't get an autograph signed by him. You know, been there, done that. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. Hello? I'll just keep going on with some of this good news. Let's see. New York City Mayor Bloomberg, you know, his stand on firearms. He wasn't spared from criticism last week by a pro-gun organization. Mr. Bloomberg has declined an invitation to attend and speak at the annual Gun Rights Policy Conference set for the end of September in Orlando. His declining the invitation brought a quick comment from the GRPC organizer, CCRKBA Chairman Alan Gottlieb. Bloomberg, Gottlieb says, is more than willing to criticize President Barack Obama and Republican candidate Mitt Romney for their not speaking out for gun control, but decided to take a powder rather than appear in front of a group with an opinion different from his. You know, hey, why go into the fire? But, hey, look, here's an invitation. You never know whose mind you might change. And finally, This is all from the Outdoor Wire last week, by the way. The National Policy Center for Policy Analysis. Man, oh, man. How these names. You know, when you worked in Washington for a brief time, I could not get used to the way things were named and the acronyms and everything else. The National Policy Center for Policy Analysis has taken issue with the claim that traditional lead-based ammunition poses a risk to wildlife. That's a good thing. Senior fellow Sterling Burnett observed that the Environmental Protection Agency was not allowed by Congress to regulate or ban lead ammunition. Even if they did, said Burnett, there's little evidence supporting the claim that lead ammunition poses a significant harm to animals and humans. Condors, he said, are one of the few species in which lead ammunition is arguably doing harm, but protecting them does not call for a nationwide ban. We agree. Perhaps, Burnett observed, limited restrictions in the condor's home range might be justified to prevent harm, but he also observed something that hunters and conservationists have known for decades. Banning lead would actually be harmful to wildlife. Why? You might ask. Hunters and shooters pay excise taxes on all ammunition they purchase. That money is used directly to fund wildlife conservation programs. According to Burnett's research, a ban on lead ammunition would endanger much of the $1.66 billion per year in wildlife management and conservation funding from taxes and fees on guns, licenses, and ammunition. What do you think about that? You understand? You ban lead ammunition. You cut down on people going hunting, going shooting, because the cost of ammunition is prohibitive. Therefore, not as much tax gets collected. The FAET, the Firearms and Ammunition Excise Tax, under the Pittman-Robertson Act, which goes to fund Wildlife Restoration Fund. And the way that works is that the excise tax is collected from the manufacturer. It's collected at a rate of about 11% on top of the wholesale price of the ammunition or the firearm. That cost, of course, is passed on to the end user, us, the consumers. So when we buy a box of ammunition or we buy a firearm, about 11% of that purchase price, thereabouts, has already been collected by the Internal Revenue Service. It has been transferred to the Wildlife Restoration Fund. And then, according to a formula based on hunting license sales and things like that, that money is divided among all the states. $1.66 billion divided among the 50 states. Millions of dollars comes into each state to fund a couple of things, very specific things: wildlife management, public hunting areas, and hunter education, hunter safety education. Those are all aided by funding from the Wildlife Restoration Fund, the Pittman-Robertson Act, the Firearms Ammunition Excise Tax. There is also a tax on archery gear as well. On the fishing side, it's called the Wallop Bro Funds or the Sport Fish Restoration Act. It comes from the same type of excise tax on fishing tackle, boat motor fuel, and things like that. We are self-funded, folks, when it comes to fishing and hunting. And in Maryland, even more so, because there are no public funds, no taxpayer monies designated for wildlife management. You see, it's all done by the hunters, by the people who purchase hunting licenses. No public funding comes into play to protect your favorite animals in your backyard. All the non-game species, all the reptiles, all the amphibians, all the bird life, and the things that so many people enjoy when they go hiking, biking, backpacking, kayaking, and bird watching, is all protected by hunters' dollars. You see, there's no tax on kayaks. There's no excise tax on backpacks. There's no tax on hiking shoes or tennis shoes. There's no tax on binoculars. There's no tax on cameras that go towards wildlife funding. It all comes from guns and ammunition and archery tackle. It all comes from the purchase of hunting licenses. And now the programs that are also funded by those dollars, paid for by hunters, are in jeopardy because there are not enough dollars generated through the sale of hunting licenses here in Maryland to keep up the level of funding that we need to continue to do the scientific research that we need to do to maintain our sustainable wildlife and fish populations here in Maryland. There's no public funding. Taxpayers do not, again, fund any wildlife programs here in Maryland in the 2013 budget. Okay? 410-922-6680. 410-WCBM 680. Again, we're asking you, if you're listening online, you're just tuning in and missed the first part of the show, asking you to check in with us with an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Trying to get a feel for how many people listen online. ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Just say hi, name and town, that's all I need, and we would appreciate that. Looking for those emails here at my Ellis Outdoors website. Again, we're rebuilding that Ellis Outdoors website. We're going to have more information on there, more links, more photos, more factors that can help you out to understand what we do here with the Maryland Hunting Quarterly and the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine and the Outdoors and Radio Show. Let's talk to Mike Pasadena. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good. I had a question for you. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day that was, his father died recently, and my friend was going through the attic at his dad's house for the stuff that he left him, and he came across a German Luger.
Yep.
From World War II. His dad was a World War II vet. I guess he brought it back. Is there a way of getting that registered?
Mm-hmm.
What would he have to do to go about doing that?
Well, he would simply write down the name, the name of the gun, the serial number, whatever he can find, whatever information he can find in the caliber.
Right.
If he wants to register that firearm, mm-hmm. then he takes that information to the state police.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is a gun that I found in my father's possessions.
Right.
And go from there.
That's it.
That's how you register that firearm. Yes. I mean, does he actually want to register it and shoot it or...
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, well, okay. That's what he has to do.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for the information. You really helped me.
Okay, Mike. Glad to
and,
do it.
Thanks for all you do every Saturday morning, and it helps to get me a jump start.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, I do live on the water. I have two crab pots, but I ended up buying most of my crabs this year because they just haven't been coming in as I thought they would.
Yeah, well, it all depends. Now, what kind of bait do you use in your pots?
I use albies.
Yeah.
I get them for fish bones, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. 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 I saw on the list there that Bud just checked in another blue crab, a 9-inch crab, for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that was the one I gave him.
Is that the one you gave him?
No, I'm just kidding.
Huh?
Because what I found in my pots was like maybe 5 inches.
Yeah, I got you. So, very
okay,
good.
Okay, well, thanks.
All right, Mike. Thanks, buddy. See ya.
My wife loves your show, too.
Well, tell your wife I said hello.
Okay, will do.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
There we go. Good morning, Claude. How are you?
Alan, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
This deer season you talk about now, I'm not a hunter, but... To make deer stew where it ain't so gamey, what do you got to do?
You have to trim all the fat from every scrap of meat. I don't know what you're going to use to make deer stew, but if I'm making deer stew, I'm picking the best cuts. I'm taking the steaks. I'm taking the tenders. There is some stew meat you can get, of course, the shank meat and that type of thing. And some of the what they call the trimmings and, the meat that does not go, that normally goes in the ground if you want stew meat. But
right.
The key to deer meat is there's a couple of things. One is do not cook any fat from the deer in with the meat. The deer fat is found on the outside of the muscle tissue. It's not marbled in like a steak.
Right.
Okay, it's a tallow. What they used to make soap out of. So the tallow consequently melts. It will infiltrate every fiber of the meat and the vegetables and everything else, and that's what gives you that coating on the roof of your mouth, so to speak, and the gamey taste. So that's one thing. The other thing is you have got to cook deer meat with a lot of moisture. A lot of moisture. So, I mean, a stew is a perfect thing for that. But I would, rather than put it on the pot and just try to boil it, I would crock pot it and let it cook slow.
Like marinate it, more or less?
Well, I don't know how you would marinate stew meat. I guess you could. I mean, you could use some kind of garlic flavor or something like that. I wouldn't go overboard on the marinade with deer meat for stew.
Right.
But I would put, if I'm making stew, I'm putting together some kind of stock with maybe a beef stock and V8 juice or something like that. I'm making some kind of a broth that I can leave it just cook slow in. You know, put some onions in there, put your seasoning in there, and you know, do your stew, but low and slow. Low heat, slow cooking, and lots of moisture is the key to deer meat. And the other major thing is to trim all the fat, all that silver skin. You know, don't get any of that white tallow in there. That's where the flavor just goes away.
Yeah, because if you cook it right, it'll taste just like regular meat.
If you cook it right, it's better than beef. It's healthier for you. It's higher in protein and lower in cholesterol. Those two things there, right there, make me want to eat venison all the time, which I do.
Right.
You know?
And another thing, this guy was talking about animal rights. I mean, I support animal rights, too. But
oh, do you? Do you support animal rights? Do you support animal rights?
Yeah, I support animal cruelty. I mean, the dogs and stuff, you know what I mean? But,
You sure about that? Are you sure you support that?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to hurting animals, poor animals like dogs, and cats, stuff like that.
I see. All right. Now let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Do you walk your dog on a lead?
I don't have a dog, but I've done walk him on a leash, yeah.
Okay, so if you're walking your dog on your lead and your dog doesn't pay attention to you, and you call the dog,
right.
The dog doesn't come. You got him on the lead. You give the lead a little tug, and the dog turns and comes your way. Okay?
Right.
Somebody sees that and says, That man was jerking that dog around on that lead like it was horrible. It was horrible. He turned, twisted the dog's neck. I think it's just a crime. Police show up. Take a report. Sir, we understand you were cruel to your animal. No, I mean, the dog wouldn't come. I just gave a little tug on the lead, and the dog came over. It was fine. Everything was fine. Well, that's not what your neighbor said. Under Cass Sustine's guidance, your dog would be appointed an attorney to speak for the dog in a court of law. Is that what you mean by supporting animal rights?
No, I don't mean that. I mean, I'm in law enforcement, so I mean, people that beat up animals is what I'm talking about.
Well, Claude, I think you're absolutely right. I can't abide anybody that beats up an animal.
But right.
That's the danger when you start getting into these animal cruelty laws, because you got to dig into it. Now, what kind of animal cruelty laws have you enforced in law enforcement?
I haven't enforced any.
Okay, but you said you were in law enforcement.
I am, but I mean, I don't.
So you've never been called. You've never been called to a home to investigate animal cruelty or anybody using pit bulls to fight or anybody who's keeping animals in their, you know, too many animals in their homes and not feeding them and that type of thing. You've never been called to any of those calls.
No, because I work in a housing project. We deal with drugs and guns. We deal with a whole different animal.
I see. Okay.
But I agree with what you're saying. I mean, this guy, I don't know what he's talking about. He sounds like a whack job to me. I mean, if you got deer running around tearing up everything, you got to kill them because they're destroying things.
Okay. All right. We'll go with your point. Okay.
All right, Andy. Have a good weekend.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call. See ya. 410 to be CBM 680, 410-922-6680. Did I tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge featuring Diamond Jim? I'm sure I've mentioned that. Well, you know, Diamond Jim is out there swimming around. Now we've got information here that let's see. Where where do I see this? There are four imposters certified. Troy Linderborn, who we mentioned last week at Pasadena, is certified and may have caught the July Diamond Jim. Now, two other imposters are slated to get a polygraph next week, along with a lady angler from Pennsylvania who may have caught the August Diamond Jim. What do you think of that? So there's eight Diamond Jim fish that have been caught, and still time for you to go out and catch another one. You got a week, or you got a little more than a week. Labor Day is the last day. So Diamond Jim is out there swimming around. August Diamond Jim's worth $25,000. If you catch an imposter, it's only worth $500 minimum. But if all these fish, if these eight fish are imposters, everybody's going to split the $25,000. So it's worth your while to go fishing. If you catch a fish with a bright green tag, that's going to be Diamond Jim or an imposter. Yep. And if it is Diamond Jim for the month of August, well, we have information that reads like this. Six tackle stores, six of them. Let's see who they are if I can name them here. All Tackle of Annapolis, Clyde's Sport Shop of Lansdowne, Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena, Herb's Tackle Shop in Northeast, Marty's Tackle Shop in Edgewater, and Tochterman's Tackle in Fells Point, three of whom are sponsors, by the way, are each offering $1,000 gift certificates to the angler that catches the authentic Diamond Jim. On top of that, Zachary's Jewelry Shop is going to put up a $4,000 pair of diamond earrings. So the bonus is 10 grand. On top of the 25, www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge featuring Diamond Jim. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov, or ask your local tackle store about Diamond Jim and the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Are you feeling lucky? I hope so. And speaking about fish bones, well, we can talk about Bud right here on the air. Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Take Route 100 all the way to the end. You're going to hit Mountain Road, head towards Gibson Island, make a right. 4729 Mountain Road, 2.5 miles down that way towards Gibson Island. Right beside the Shell station is Fishbones Bait and Tackle. That's what they sell, bait and tackle for fishing and crabbing. Everything you could need, want, or imagine, including those great big stainless steel crab pots with Fishbone's name on the top. Last crab pot you ever need to buy, half bushel, bushel, bushel and a half, all three sizes, come with a basket and a lid. Check it out, Fishbone's Bait and Tackle, 410-360-0573. Give Bud a call. That's Bud. That's the guy that runs the place. That's his name, Bud. 410-360-0573 for an up-to-date fishing report.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been itching, she's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early. And honey, you ain't gonna like it, 'cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined, so I took her down and outfitted her from head to toe. And oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage. She's all decked out.
Man, let me tell you something.
Brown and green, she's a sexy.
There are some chicks down there at the sports chair from La Plata. Tank top, camo shorts, and cowboy boots, brother. Yikes.
She's still high.
All right, come on. What do you think of that, Sally? Do you look good in camouflage?
Tremendous.
Somehow I knew that. How you doing?
Okay, I've written another haiku, just can't stop.
Oh, no.
A off my pen. It just sort of flowed out like some kind of automatic writing. I don't want to take too much responsibility for it.
I understand.
This is what God wrote. The Allen Ellis Fishing Contest, August. Find Diamond Jim, a fraud who does not exist. No one will do it. Sorry.
All right. Look, I'm. You need to read that again because I'm writing it down. The Allen Ellis Fishing Contest,
yes.
August.
Allen Ellis Fishing Contest, August.
Yes.
First line: Find Diamond Jim.
Right.
A fraud who does not exist. No one will do it.
Whoa.
Now we'll just have to wait to see if it's right.
Let's see what happens, Sally. I mean, if your prediction comes true, well, a lot of those folks who caught imposters are going to be very happy because they get to split $25,000.
I see.
The Allen Ellis Fishing Contest, August. Find Diamond Jim. A fraud who does not exist. No one will do it.
Will do it.
Will do it. Is that what you said? No.
That's what I said.
No one will do it.
Off my pen. I said I don't want to take
it. Oh, you're not taking credit for it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you what, keep them coming.
Okay.
We enjoy it so much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes, indeed, very much. Always a pleasure, Sally.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680. Isn't she lovely? I've not had many people write me poetry. I should read the poetry my dad wrote for me, however. I've got that somewhere. At my 40th birthday party, long time ago. Quite a guy. Got heard from Raymond, listening on the Android phone in Baltimore. Appreciate that. Keep the emails coming. There's another one. There's Sharon. She listens via the internet every Saturday morning. She is a Maryland transplant to West Virginia. Not a hunter, but I love your show. Keep up the good work. Where else do you get to hear about deer stew? Deer stew, Pittman Robertson funding for wildlife restoration, and haiku, all in the same show, and gun rights, and fishing, and crabbing. There's nothing else like this out there. Right, Brian? All right. Well, another hour coming up. Thank you, Sharon.